This is The Hardline, the greatest show on earth.
Well, maybe just in St. Louis.
Out of all grown freak show, something to see. Got them lined up and waiting, taking bullets for me. I'm a Mack truck. I'm trucking down a one-way street. You better move, dance. My tank's on E.
The Hardline with TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, John Hadley, Bob Ramsey, and who the hell else knows?
Welcome into The Hardline, 5-9 of the Fan, KFNS, 5-9thefan.com. I am former Missouri wide receiver TJ Moe, riding solo today, at least for a bit, as we were going through the opening there. John Hadley with a text that says, very concisely, going to be late. David Solomon running the board for me today. Thankfully, I spent the last 2 hours watching Missouri's Pro Day, and we are going to dive right into that. Certainly one of the topics I think I can handle myself. Not that any of you guys agree with me, but if there's one thing I can sit here and monologue, it is the Missouri Tigers. Your thoughts are welcome in all of this. 855-282-8255. So it took forever. It was interesting watching Bucky Brooks on – it was carried on NFL Network. So Bucky Brooks was out there, Daniel Jeremiah, all the guys that you typically hear on the broadcast for NFL Network. They kept waiting. They said, all right, going to be here momentarily. We're coming back. We're going to Drew Locke. And it was like an hour and a half before they actually went to him. And I guess Missouri had so many participants and things, they were not expecting it to go so long. I don't know who all was doing stuff. Typically, any senior that wants any chance of playing in the NFL, they're going to go through. And Missouri had six guys who were invited to the combine. They only had that was Drew Locke, Kendall Blanton, Paul Adams, Terry Beckner Jr., Terez Hall, and Emmanuel Hall. Demaria Crockett, who was a junior that declared for the draft, he did not get invited to the NFL Combine. So he had to go do all of his workouts today. And they start from scratch when they do this. You don't just come in and they say, all right, we got some measurements. We'll take the school's word for it. You're 6 foot, 225. They measure every single guy again. Even if you went to the Combine, you measure again. And so all the guys that were out there today got their height, weight, hand size, wingspan, arm length, all the different stuff. They got it not only from the NFL Combine, but they got it again at the Pro Day. So that stuff takes quite a while. Everybody, I assume, at least some people, did the 225-pound bench press. And I don't know all the – it is really tough to tell because the scouts actually don't even tell you what your times are. Your agent typically will at some point find out by talking to a scout or whatever what they had. But there are no official times like the NFL Combine. So – he got a group of guys out there that, you know, are all kind of sharing times and stuff, but the players really don't ever know. It was interesting. Daniel Jeremiah, again, one of the he works for NFL Network, does a really good job. He's one of the more respected guys in the NFL scouting community. He said Demaria Crockett ran a 4.4, which would be spectacular. That actually puts him into draftable range. He's a guy that I would have guessed was a 4.55 to 4.6 guy. If he's a 4.4 guy, he is now in the draftable range at that size. He doesn't have unbelievable quickness. And really, if you watch him on tape, he doesn't have breakaway speed. But what he does have is maintainable speed, meaning whoever's chasing him is not picking up ground. And that was across the board. He played 3 years like that, especially his freshman year. Pro Football Focus, I saw this a couple years ago, so I'm not going to get the stat exactly right. But you saw a guy who Pro Football Focus showed that he had, they called it breakaway, but they said bottom line is when he took off, nobody caught him. And that's who Demaria Crockett was. So if he dropped a little bit of weight, again, we don't have the figures. This is not reported like the NFL Combine. But my guess is he was somewhere in the range of 225 pounds. And at that weight, to come in and run a 4.4, that is spectacular. So there was another report that we saw with Emmanuel Hall about a potential sports hernia. And that, I believe it was KansasCity.com. I don't think it was the KC Starters, KansasCity.com. And they had a report shortly after the combine that said, hey, that's the reason he didn't do any of the change of direction stuff. That's why he didn't do any of the on-field workouts. But he begged him and said, look, you find whatever you want, but I'm jumping and I am running that 40. And he ran a 4.39, so he did not run again today. and he jumped a 43.5-inch vertical in like an 11'9" or something like that. I can't remember exactly. Like 141-inch broad jump. And that stuff is the kind of stuff that'll get you into the third round. I know there are some people, Gabe J. Armand, PowerMizzou.com, he has him projected to be a second rounder. I think he's likely to be a third rounder. Although, I'll be honest with you, I watched Drew Locke's workout today. Emmanuel Hall didn't look that good. When you have that kind of raw ability that he does, you're going to get drafted. I said the only way that I thought it was possible, I was on these very airwaves, telling you that I thought it was possible that he would not be drafted if he didn't come out and run really well. Well, it turns out that he came out, as I just told you, and ran a 4.39 at the NFL Combine. That's the type of thing that gets you drafted when you also have film of running by everybody in the SEC. On top of that, he jumped out, out of the frickin' gym. I think Julio Jones is the only guy in Combine history to jump further than he did. Julio Jones is pretty good, if you remember that guy. I'm going to roll. I don't know anything about what Paul Adams did today. Terry Beckner Jr. There was one tweet. I can't confirm here if this is true or not. There was one tweet that says Terry Beckner Jr. actually weighed in at, measured in at 6'2" today when he was 6'4" at the combine. That doesn't make any sense. If that's true, you're going to have a lot of scouts showing up to his house measuring themselves. Because that's a monstrous difference when you're talking about a guy. 2 inches in the middle of the line when your job is to get your hands up. If you can't get any pressure and bat down some passes, that is a massive, massive difference, the 2 inches there. So that's something that they're going to have to take a look at. Follow us on Twitter at 590TheFan. You can follow me on Twitter at TJMO28. I am tweeting out what we are talking about at this moment. Look, Drew Locke's workout, my guess is probably is graded in the B range. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. He showed off exactly why he's going to be a top 10 pick. And Jordan Palmer, the little brother of Carson Palmer, former Heisman Trophy winner for USC, and obviously a first rounder for the Cincinnati Bengals, played out for the Cardinals for a while, really. He was the guy that sort of held the band together. If you guys remember when TJ Houshmandzadeh and Chad Ochocinco/Johnson, if that doesn't tell you what a circus it was, we don't even know his name. So he's kind of the guy that held it together back then. His little brother, Jordan Palmer, is an NFL guru, a quarterback guru. He has run the workouts for Josh Allen. He has run the workouts for Sam Darnold last year, both first-round quarterbacks. And then he's buzzed around a different – I think he was with Jared Stidham. And so he's bounced around. Anyway, he's a quarterback guy that does a really, really good job with all these potential first-rounders. He ran this workout beautifully. This is probably the most efficient, high-tempo, smooth workout of a quarterback that I have seen. There was absolutely no wasted time. There was absolutely everybody understood exactly what they were doing, including Drew, including the running backs, including the receivers, who, by the way, he wasn't working out with Emmanuel Hall. He wasn't working out with Demaryius Crockett. These guys all go do their own thing. So when he comes out there and he's telling them the route and everything has to be done, yeah, immediately, exactly the way it is, planned out for the quarterback. Because make no mistake, when you're talking about a top 10 quarterback, there is very, very little you leave up to chance. You plan out every single second. Drew had that script memorized. My guess is they threw in the 50 to 60 pass range somewhere in there. Typically, that's what it is. And I guarantee you, Drew, if you said, what is play number 17, he could tell it to you off the top of his head. That's the kind of planning that goes into this from the very start. So Jordan Palmer out there doing a really, really good job. And the money quote from him, this was interesting. The money quote from Jordan Palmer before the workout, because again, it took like an hour and a half longer than everybody thought it would. In fact, when they were bringing him in, Daniel Jeremiah was not actually in the broadcast. He was at Mizzou. So they brought him in. He said, I wanted to wish both you guys a happy birthday. I think you both had one since last time we were supposed to be coming back here to Drew Locke. The workout itself didn't take that long. Getting to the workout took forever. So they went to some different interviews. Jordan Palmer was quoted as saying, this is interesting, I have this up on my Twitter. Again, you guys can see I was quoting a lot from Jordan Palmer, from Bucky Brooks, another NFL guy. Bucky, ex-NFL player, scout as well for Carolina and Seattle, and now on the NFL Network. Quotes from a lot of them that I will give to you shortly. But I was tweeting them out earlier, and Jordan Palmer, again, remember, working out with Sam Darnold, who is one of the most likable guys to come out in the last 10 years. Sam Darnold, everybody loved. In fact, like, he had really good ability. If you remember, he went third overall, but he was just so darn likable. Jordan Palmer came out and said, look, you know, Drew's got a rocket arm. You guys know that. He's athletic. You guys know that. They kept on the broadcast playing. I think the rim was lower, to be honest with you. They didn't say that, but I think this was probably a 9 or 9.5 foot rim, because there's no way in hell that Drew Locke was actually doing what they were showing, and that was he went between his legs and dunked a basketball. Yeah, no, he didn't. Okay, he's a good athlete, but he had like a 31-inch vertical jump. There's no way he was going between the legs and dunking it. So I think that was a lowered rim. Either way, it was an athletic move. And he said, look, you talk about whatever you want with Drew Locke, but I'm just telling you, of all the quarterbacks that I've been around, and we got a lot of first-rounders, he is one of the 3 to 4 coolest dudes that I've been around, and that freaking matters. And that's just what he's talking about here is in order to succeed in the NFL, again, Jordan, I didn't give you the background on him. He was a 6th-round pick, played a few years in the NFL. And to connect with guys, you have to be cool, right? You know, it's like there's a reason Andy Dalton's teams don't work because he's a giant nerd, right? You don't have to be like Mr. Cool, you know, but you have to be likable. You have to be cool to the guys, right? You have to be a guy that everybody wants to go out and hang with, right? You want to go to the bar? Let's go with Drew. You guys want to go out and hit some golf balls? Let's go with Drew. That you want to be that guy. And that is that's the glue guy that brings everybody in together. You got to be that guy as a quarterback. That really, really matters. We've heard that report from Missouri players. We've heard that report from Barry Odom ad nauseum, from Derek Dooley now. And you just heard it from Jordan Palmer, who has only gotten to know him over the last few months. But that really matters. He said, hey, listen, we have a dude that's just really cool to be around. He can connect with the guys, and I'm telling you that matters. So that was really, really good to hear. A few more quotes from some guys, and I will just go kind of in chronological order. Yeah, there it was, actually. I talked about Jamari Crockett, that we did have his official weigh-in. Dave Matter tweeting out he was 224. So that's a good weight for him, and to run a 4.4 at that weight, that's really good. So Derek Dooley had this to say about Barry Odom. I'm sorry, we don't have any sound on this. This was all on NFL Network, not things that we could pull. And then as I was pulling into the parking lot here, we had the workout ended. So all the stuff, all the sound and things that you would typically hear from reporters and things that we could pull, they're all getting it as we speak. So I can just read to you what I have written down. This is what Derek Dooley had to say about Drew Locke, and this is paraphrased. He said, basically, he's a really young quarterback. He said he's very young in quarterback development from an NFL perspective. Incredible. The whole thing was incredible about how he was able to pick things up and how much he worked at it. Remember, he had 3 offensive coordinators in 4 years. Okay, he had Josh Henson, who now I think is at Texas A&M as an offensive line coach. But Josh Henson was the offensive coordinator for Missouri his first year. And then he was let go when Coach Pinkel retired and Barry Odom came in. So they hired Josh Heupel. Now he was there for 2 years, left, went to go be the head coach at Central Florida. And then there's Derek Dooley, who brought the NFL offense. And that was a really big deal. So what he was saying was, look, it was amazing how much he worked at it and how quickly he was able to pick things up. And again, very young in quarterback development from an NFL perspective. And they kept talking about this in the broadcast as well, that, look, he was a basketball guy, kind of. He was just, like, in high school, he just rolled it out. He's only been committed to the position for 4 years, where a lot of other dudes learn in 7th grade. You're probably going to be a prospect if you keep growing at this rate and your skills continue to be polished. So you better get rolling. Drew Locke was playing some basketball, right? He had some, I think, Division I offers to go play basketball. So anyway, they kept talking about this, and back to what Derek Dooley was saying. He said, look, his growth was remarkable during the season. Watch his last 4 games and you see a different quarterback. And that's true. Remember, they started the season 4-4. Then they ratted off 4 straight wins. They're really, really good in November. And if you guys remember the game against Florida, where he just picked them apart, that was a top 10 Florida team. They finished top 10 in the country. I hate when people say, look, they beat a top 10 team and then it was a team that you beat week 1 and then they ended up sucking. That's not useful. But it is useful when you beat a team that ends up, that finishes the year in the top 10. That really, really matters. That was great. Drew Locke picked them apart. And he did it. Remember, Albert O got hurt that game. He did it largely without Albert O. Emmanuel Hall was back for that game. And he was just hitting his guys. And that is the type of thing. He finally got a grasp of the offense. Derek Dooley went on later to say that when he understands a concept, he really, really gets it. It may take him a little while. You know, you're not going to get everything in year 1 or the first whatever. But he really, really, when he understands a concept, here's another thing I've written down. He has all the tools, size, athleticism. He can process. He's got rare arm talent, ability to make any throw off balance, any angle, under pressure, and he's really, really impressed with how he dove into it and embraced the new offense. So he said the two biggest components of what he does, this year he has learned systematically how to process NFL concepts, and now he has an answer when you are under duress. That is really the deal here. He didn't have that answer in the first few years of his career. We saw that out of Drew Lock. But we have seen that now when he's under pressure, what does he do? Typically, if you guys go watch the film, he spins out to his left. He does that thing. Matty Mauk used to do it all the time, where a right-handed quarterback, obviously your back is to your left. And when he feels pressure, he dips out, goes the other direction, and really makes something out of nothing. And he was able to learn that with the new offense here. So he said, again, this is how Derek Dooley finished up. He said, I really believe the last four games you can see that he's ascending, and he's going to keep ascending. When you understand the concept of what he's trying to get done, all the rest of the stuff kicks in. The athletic ability, his rocket arm, all the stuff that makes him a special player. When he gets the concept and he finally grasps it, and again, it took him eight games this year. That is not very long. You get something that if it takes him eight games, that means he's going to have a spectacular second half of his rookie year, if that's all it takes him. So anyway, really impressive what he was able to have from Derek Dooley. Again, that's a guy that's been, he was a wide receiver coach for the Dallas Cowboys. So he's been around NFL guys. He sees what it takes. Tony Romo, probably a better broadcaster than he was a football player, but he's still a darn good quarterback. And he was around him for a while. He was around a lot of NFL guys. And he's been around the sport of football for a long time. So really good to have some glowing remarks there from him. Moving on. Text from you guys before I go on. I got some more stuff from Daniel Jeremiah. I have some more stuff from Bucky Brooks. And then my own thoughts from Drew Lock's workout. Again, it was probably a B-ish, right? I mean, he missed some throws. He had some wobbly throws and all that. So we'll get into that in a minute. Text from you guys, 855-282-8255. Let's see. The 314 over-under said an hour listening to TJ talk Mizzou Pro Day. Probably true. Depends on when Hadley shows up. We do have quite a bit, actually, on the Blues. We have some Craig Berube sound that we will get to in a little while. Oscar Sundquist back in the lineup. That's really good to see after what was a scary fall for him. So we have some of that, obviously some Cardinals news. The Cardinals have a doubleheader today, a split squad, a couple games where they take on, I think, the Yankees and then the Nationals. Dexter Fowler leading off today, pulled a Matt Carpenter, hit a first pitch home run, and then I think he's got two home runs already today if you're paying attention. So anyway, a lot of stuff on that, but yes, I do want to talk Mizzou for a while because this is my wheelhouse, and today was a big day for Drew Lock. All 32 teams were there, over 60 NFL personnel. And this was interesting, too. I'll get back to your text in just a second. They kept saying, man, this is the biggest Mizzou Pro Day I can ever remember. It's like, it's been 8 years. Alden Smith and Blaine Gabbert won in the top 10. Everyone was there. Marvin Lewis was there. John Fox was there, who I think Fox at the time was... He was with Denver. Jim Harbaugh was there when he was with the 49ers. Mike Munchak, Rex Ryan, Leslie Frazier, who was with Minnesota at the time, John Elway. Everybody was freaking there. Okay, so whoever, I understand Missouri is not at the forefront of national attention all the time, but come on. And I get it, prisoner of the moment, all that stuff's nice, but the reality here, this was not bigger than that one, but this was big because anytime you have a first-round quarterback, a guy that's likely to be in the top 10, everybody's going to show up because if somehow he falls, Aaron Rodgers, like, remember, Aaron Rodgers is supposed to be a top 10 pick. I think he went 24th. The Packers picked him up, and it's worked out pretty well for them. So, again, text from you guys, 855-282-8255. Doug's prison wallet. Dustin Befuglin ran a 4.18 in his 40. Okay. Dustin Befuglin can play forward. He can play goalie. He can play defense, whatever you want, and apparently football. So there you go. Gibby, hey, TJ, you should ask the KFNS football expert Andy Strickland what he thinks of Lock. Yeah, I have heard that Andy Strickland is not a huge fan of Drew Lock. And to each their own on that. I disagree with him. Okay, so Daniel Jeremiah was talking about was talking about Drew Lock, and he was talking about the one word. So he said he studied seven of his games. Again, Daniel Jeremiah, if you don't know him, he's at Move the Sticks on Twitter. He does a really, really good job. He's there are very few. Everybody wants to make their own mock drafts, first round mocks. Basically, there's no reason to do a full 7-round mock draft unless you're just throwing things out there, because you know you can give a guy a grade, but to actually predict where they're going to go after the first round is really tough to do. So I only really look at first round mocks. And there's only a few guys that I will look at as far as who's mocking the first round. Daniel Jeremiah is one of those guys. He does a really good job. So he typically takes 7-8 games, maybe per year, but certainly the 7-8 that jump out to him. You want to take a really bad game, see why it was really bad. You want to take, for a guy like Drew Lock, who only has 9-inch hands, you want to take a bad weather game, see how he was able to handle the football. And then you also want to take his best games and see why they were so good. So he said, look, in 7 games of watching Drew Lock, when I scouted him, the one word that kept popping up was twitch. Not just his feet. And when people talk twitch, they say like fast twitch muscles. That's what makes you explosive. They're like cats. Think of a cat. They have fast twitch muscles. Those cats jump up like 9 times their body weight on top of I used to have so there's the chair, and then on top of that, the counter there, and then you'd have kind of like the top of the wall. If you have tall ceilings, like the top of the wall, sometimes the kitchen will stop. Cats can jump up on that stuff. They're crazy. So they have really fast twitch muscles. So anyway, that is what they're talking about there. He said the word that keeps coming up is twitch, not just his feet, but his arm. The thing comes out quick, and it comes out hot. He has got tremendous, tremendous explosiveness, and I think that comes out today. This was before the workout. You did see that, but again, he didn't have a perfect workout. It was probably a B workout. He had some ducks come out. If you guys remember, that worked for Kurt Warner. It hasn't worked for too many other guys. Kurt Warner could throw a duck, and it would still hit Isaac Bruce in the numbers 48 yards downfield. That worked. Not too many guys can throw a duck and be accurate. Drew Lock typically doesn't throw ducks ever. He was throwing a few today. He missed some throws today. It wasn't perfect, but he did get to show some things off. Bucky Brooks, another NFL guy. Again, NFL Network talking about him a little bit earlier. And a guy that used to be a scout, he said Drew Lock's arm is reminiscent of what you see out of Matthew Stafford and the stuff that he's able to do. That's an interesting comparison, and I think there's been a few other guys say that, and one of the reasons why is because rarely do you see a guy in college complete less than 60% of his passes and be successful in the NFL. It almost never happens. That's like a clear-cut rule. But Matthew Stafford has broken that mold. And he's really the first guy in modern day to do that, because you draft all these guys with crazy arm talent that couldn't complete any passes, and then it turns out they still had crazy arm talent and still couldn't complete any passes in the NFL. That doesn't work. But instead, you've had Matthew Stafford, who is a really good athlete. Fun fact on him, went to the same high school as Clayton Kershaw. Imagine playing against those teams. And he's been able to succeed. He's not at the crazy high level. He hadn't won any Super Bowls. They rarely make the playoffs. But his team is usually in it, and there was a time where he was the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. I think he's making like $27 million a year because he's able to use that ability. So anyway, if that's the comparison and that's who he can be, Drew Lock should take that all day long. All day long. Remember, he came out of Georgia there. I believe he was the first overall pick. Another thing Bucky Brooks said, you see Drew Lock make these off-platform throws. What they mean by that is they're out of the pocket, and they're not standing on their 2 feet, and everything's mechanically perfect. You know, you have your plant leg. You get to step at your 90-degree angle with your other, in Drew Lock's case, with his left foot, target right in front of you, everything moving towards the direction of the target. It doesn't always work that way, especially in the NFL. When Aaron Donald's coming up the middle, you got to get off platform and you got to do it quick. So what he was saying was, you see Drew Lock make these off-platform throws that you shouldn't be able to consistently make, but he does because his arm talent is so good. That is a really impressive statement because, again, in the NFL, there are more guys now who are starting to figure things out. Fletcher Cox, right? Aaron Donald, not to mention the defensive ends that have been good forever, that can get you off-platform. And if you're not a guy that can move around and throw the ball at different arm angles and throw the ball while you're moving to your left, if you're a right-handed guy, and if you're a left-handed guy, obviously to your right, and moving off balance and seeing a guy come open at the last second and still fitting it in a tight window, you're probably not going to make it. The NFL is not nice, crisp, and clean, right? If you're at Alabama, you probably have the 5 best offensive linemen in the country, and you stand back there on your platform, you don't have to move much, and you let her rip. That is not the reality for the NFL. In fact, Alabama linemen have hardly made it in the NFL. Go look at the over the years. Most of them fail. And in the NFL, you piece together the best guys. Half of them, I mean, you may have guys from Murray State, right? You just go find the best guys, piece them together, and when you're that good at that level, everybody gets beat. And Aaron Donald wins more than he doesn't. So you got to have a guy like Drew Lock, like Matthew Stafford, like Russell Wilson, like Josh Allen this year, what he was able to do, that can throw off platform. So that was a really big deal. He kept pointing out, they said the words off platform all day today. Why'd they say that? Because that is the new NFL. And it's interesting. They called Drew Lock. I forget what they said exactly. But it was the idea was he's like a new age quarterback, meaning what? He has the arm talent that you've always looked for traditionally, but he has the athleticism that some of these new guys are coming out with to be able to avoid the Aaron Donalds of the world, the Alden Smiths of the world, the J.J. Watts of the world, all the guys that have been able to get you off platform. Can you do both? Do you have the arm talent? Do you, which Josh Allen does. Go watch Josh Allen this year. The Buffalo Bills suck. They are terrible. But when you have a guy like Josh Allen who can actually run, he was like leading the NFL in rushing as a quarterback. I think at the very end of the year, Lamar Jackson might have got him because the dude can really run. I mean, really run. And he's got the strongest arm. He is the only guy in the last, I don't know, 5-10 years that has a stronger arm than Drew Lock. He really does. And he can do both. Can you find a guy that can do both? Another Bucky Brooks comment here, and this is interesting. He was down at the Senior Bowl. He said, I cannot tell you how many times at the Senior Bowl you look at your buddy after a Drew Lock throw and say, wow. That kid can frickin' play. That stuff is all a really, really big deal for him. Really good stuff. Last thing on Bucky Brooks here. He says, I believe he has all the tools to be a really, really good quarterback in the NFL as a matter of development and having a coach that is patient enough to slowly indoctrinate him into the NFL game. And I think that's where he nailed it. He needs to go to Denver. Now, Joe Flacco's not going to teach him anything. Joe Flacco's a me guy. But if you go sit behind a guy and you watch him, Drew Lock doesn't need you to spoon-feed it to him like a kid. He needs to watch you do it, and you can learn, right? Very few quarterbacks are going to go in there and show you exactly how everything works, right? Because you're taking their job. That is a rarity. There are, I'm trying to think of the guy that most recently was with the Jets. Who was the starting quarterback for the Jets, Solomon, in 2017? He handed it off to Sam Darnold.
Josh McCown?
Thank you. Josh McCown is the guy. Good job. Josh McCown is the guy right now that everybody hires to go coach their next quarterback. He's going to be a coach. The second he retires, somebody will hand him a quarterback job, quarterback coach job. Because he's the guy that knows he's not going to be the starter, and he knows he's not going to be threatened by this new guy because it wasn't his job to begin with. He was brought in maybe to start some games. Maybe that works out. But he was brought to help Sam Darnold along, and it worked. Joe Flacco's not going to be that guy to Drew Lock. Wherever he may be. In Washington, he would probably have to be the guy too fast because of Alex Smith. My guess there. And in Miami, they really don't have anybody. They signed, I think, Fitzpatrick recently. And he can take Fitzpatrick today. Fitzpatrick had a good good few games last year. But talent-wise, they're not in the same stratosphere there. And I think Miami's waiting to take a quarterback until next year. So my guess is Denver. Excuse me. But it allows you to be able to sit and learn. He doesn't need to be spoon-fed by Joe Flacco. I would be really surprised if he bops out of the top 10. Okay. By the way, go to my Twitter if you want to, at TJMO28. Austin Carter Samuels. If you guys remember him, he used to play quarterback for Vanderbilt. He is now the assistant quarterback coach at Mizzou. And he does a really good job, and he came out with a video today showing you why. If you're interested in the mechanics of what a quarterback does and what makes him so good, he's sitting with Drew Lock film, and this is the coach's film, which is really cool. Like, TV film is one thing, but what they're trying to do is give you the best experience. So cool angles that you can see, maybe some of the crowds in there, and maybe you see, where the defense is in comparison. And so it's a little bit different. The coach's angles are great. They have an all-22, which is awesome. You can see exactly who's doing what on every play. And they also have, when you're talking about quarterbacks, a little bit closer, and they want to see exactly where you are. So they showed Drew Lock like warming up just in the Mizzou indoor and why his mechanics are so good. And then they show you the coach's film on his, I think they're playing against Vanderbilt here. And he wanted to show, why is this working? Why is he so freaking good? Check out these mechanics. So I retweeted that. Go to @TJMo28 if you guys were to see that. And that is really interesting. Good stuff there. Last thing on Jordan Palmer. Somebody asked him, said, look, you've been around Josh Allen. You've been around Sam Darnold. Two first-round picks here, both top 10 picks. Where does Drew Lock fall with these guys? He said, honestly, I think he falls right in between Sam and Josh. Josh Allen has a stronger arm than Drew Lock, but he's got like the strongest arm he's ever been around. Drew's got a stronger arm than Sam Darnold. He thinks all three of them are franchise guys. Of course, you're going to say that when you are the quarterback coach for those guys. But the point remains, that is a big deal. And Sam Darnold, again, the number three overall pick there, that was very highly regarded coming out of college. And I actually did think he had no weapons at all last year and didn't have any help. Still did a fairly good job with the Jets. I think it was a big deal that they picked up Le'Veon Bell. He'll be really good this year. So, anyway, 30 minutes there for you on your Missouri Tigers, and we'll probably revisit that at some time. We'll come back with a little bit of Blues talk. David Solomon was down at the morning skate today. He got some sound from Craig Berube and some news on what is going on with Oscar Sundquist, Joel Edmondson, Sammy Blay, Carl Gunnarsson, who I apparently is alive because he was skating today. So we will come back with that. It's Hardline.